Well, it's a privilege for me to introduce Erin. Most of you know her if you've been around any time at all, but I wanted to say a couple things about her before she comes up. Something I've always admired about you, Erin, is your faith. And I don't know how it works. Some of us are much harder to convince about the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We're hard sells. We make, you know, prove it. And this, she was a different person. She began believing from the time she was a little kid all the way through and just got stronger and stronger. But where her faith got practical, she was struggling in school. We'll find out later if this is a bad example. She was struggling in school, and she brought home a paper, and it was an F plus. And she said, "Dad, I'm really improving." She's the only person in the world that would say an F plus was something to be sunny and smiling about. I said, "Yeah, you flunked plus. You flunked, but there's a plus in there somewhere." And I don't know if it was at the same time or right around there. I mean, she was not doing well. It was because there was other things going on with reading and things like that that she had to really work at. And she said, "Dad, when I graduate from college," she's 10 years old, "will you take me to Ireland?" I said, "Sure." Sure. Guess who forgot all about that? I did. I totally forgot. She did it when she was 10 years old. And at 22, it's payday, you know. And she reminded me that I said that. And I said, "Oh, man." So the three of us went on an adventure to Ireland together as a blessing for that. And later she became a teacher. She was honored as Teacher of the Year. So I want to tell parents, too, that if your kids are struggling in school or you wonder, how is this going to work, they end up being Teachers of the Year. That you just hang in there with them, work with them, love. But the reason she was that is because of this and because of her faith. And I don't know what Erin will say today, but I promise you, you'll be encouraged. So come on up.
I got the coolest gift ever this morning from my kids, and it's something I've really been wanting because I've realized the older I've gotten, the more I've become scared of things that I used to love, like doing a cartwheel. I'm like, when did I stop being able to do a cartwheel? I don't know, but I feel like I would die if I did. And I'm like, I play catch with Cade, and I'm like, he goes, "Seriously, Mom, you were a catcher?" I'm like, "Why, because I catch like this now?" So I've been working on those things. I can do a cartwheel again, guys. Woohoo! And this morning, I got a glove. And it's the most awesome gift because as a parent, you guys probably noticed Cade brings his glove every Sunday and always has his ball with him. And as a parent, you learn to love what your kids love. And I already loved softball growing up, and so it's such a blast to relive that with your kids. And so Kate gave me the glove. He goes, now you need to just work on not being scared of the ball. I'm like, okay, well, I've got the equipment now, so we're good. So that's my prop. And so much of parenting is a catch of catching and tossing. I feel like that's all we do as moms. We're always throwing the ball back to them, getting them to talk, trying to draw them out, and then sometimes catching things that you're like, "Oh, I can't believe I caught that. That's so good." The Holy Spirit gives us wisdom on when we need to tune in and we need to focus. A lot of times, we weren't even that smart, but kids, there is a scripture that says your sins will find you out, and we pray that for you. So I always say, I mean, the Holy Spirit tells us. You can try to cover, but he's smarter than you, and he knows what you do. So just know your parents pray that, okay? All right. Well, I know that on a morning like this, Mother's Day, it honestly brings up a lot of emotion for a lot of you. Some of it, it's joyful and exciting, and when you have little ones at home, it's so fun. They bring you in their treasures that they made, their macaroni necklaces and their handprints and all these things. And then, you know, sometimes we haven't had those great relationships with our moms. Or, you know, there's just different things that this kind of day can bring up. So I just, this verse came to me this morning for you, that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those crushed in spirit. And that's out of Psalms 34, 18. And then Psalm 147, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So wherever you're at today, the Lord is here and he's in our midst. So to start off, we need to do a little laughing. So my tech crew, will you please start the video? And while they're doing that, I don't see any, oh, you're down here. Okay, good. Lights, please. that we can all relate to parts of that, right? Oh my goodness. There's a quote that I saw that made me laugh and think of all of us this morning. Let's see. Up there, but it was basically when I was thinking about when I used to be able to take naps or when I was tired or all of that. It said, "Dear naps, is it up there? Okay, dear naps. I'm sorry I was a jerk to you in kindergarten." Isn't that how we feel? Like, what were we thinking? Like, someone let us take a nap and we're just like, no, I don't want to. That made me laugh. And there's another picture, just so as a disclaimer, I am not a perfect mom by any means, and my kids are great material, but I think that's genetic. You know, we all share, like, our stories of our kids, and, you know, all of us as moms kind of find ways that our kids make us laugh and cry at the same time. So this is a picture of something Lucy created for us in our home. It's a picture of a chart, and she copied the chart she had in class, okay? Uh-huh, and you'll notice I'm on the very bottom, on mad, and that's like the worst you can be in her kindergarten class. Like, that's principal time. You go to the principal and you do that. And one time, guys, I even got moved off the chart. I go, do they do that in your class? She goes, no, but it's time. And I said, what did I even do? And it, you know, it's probably my tone or how I talked to her. It was hilarious. So she adds people of our family, and if she's really pleased with me, she's like, I'm moving you up. So I laugh so hard because as parents, they constantly, you know, we're constantly being judged by our kids and by our tone and by our attitude. But this just cracks me up. I mean, some of you might think it's disrespectful, but I just let her go with it. I don't even care. Like, she moves us up and down all day in our family, and we're like, oh, okay. You know, it's just kind of like, I guess she needs some control. So anyways, if you spend any time at our house, you'll make the clipboard, and hopefully she'll be happy with you. I often say to my kids, hey, sorry has feet, meaning that you cannot just say I'm sorry 1,000 times and do nothing. You have to put some action into what you say. I always tell them you shouldn't have to apologize 15 times over the same thing in 5 minutes. Like, you said sorry, show me. And I'm really big into first time listening. My neighbors probably are like, oh my gosh, there she goes again. I'm like, first time listening, Lucy. Or not Kate as much, but sometimes. So I just started thinking about how I am as a mom and kind of what I ask of my children and what I want them to do. And I thought, how am I with the Lord? Am I a good first time listener? The first time he asked me to do something, do I go, absolutely, right away? Do I listen to his voice when he calls me that I know it? I mean, as a parent, a big thing, and when you call your kids, I always tell them, like, you have to learn to listen to us. Otherwise, you will never learn to listen to the Lord. And then Cade's added, and Lucy, you'll end up in jail. So that's like our big bottom, rock bottom there, that hopefully we don't have to do. But I just thought about that. What kind of listener am I? What kind of listener are you? As a mom, as a dad, as a person, I mean, I just want to say this whole message is about Mother's Day because we all have one, so it can relate to you, okay? So we all have a mom. And recently, I was in Cade's MRI, which sounds crazy, but I get so much solid reading done in his MRIs. I always bring a stack of books, and it's like MRIs and airplanes. I, like, just get a lot done. And I was reading scripture, and I was reading this book and just encouraging myself because it's such a picture of I have no control. Cade's in this MRI machine for an hour and it's really loud and cold in there. And so I just started reading, and some of what I'm going to share is going to come out of that. Sometimes as parents, we can do nothing And sometimes, most of the times, it's he can do everything. And that's where I was in that moment, and I was just praying, and I think about faith. And I appreciated so much what my dad said about me this morning, and I believe a lot of my faith comes from being so surrounded and immersed in it in my home that it wasn't ever weird. It was just natural. We just prayed intensely. We just did. I was a part of it. It wasn't like, we're going to pray, and it was this weird thing. Now, I know some of you have grown up in homes like that, and it's not a rip. It's just my home. It was so natural. And so for me to just pray was such a gift to be surrounded. And I think when you're the firstborn, too, you get your parents' best game. Totally. And you get their strictness. So I got the most spankings out of everybody, and I refuse to think that that's because I was the worst, because I am the fourth, and I saw it go down the line. I'm like, are we tired? Have we changed? What's up? So now we laugh because they were very, very thorough with me, okay? So we'll just say that. So the firstborn always gets parents like, they've read all the books, right? We're there. So that was me. Faith in action. And I'm just going to read this to you. Now, faith is confidence of what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. So again, this is not something that you see. It's something you hope for, but you haven't seen it yet. And it's what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, and that what was seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God to a better offering than Cain did. By faith, we are commended as righteousness, and God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. And by faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so he did not experience death and could not be found because God took him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he is the rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. He rewards you if you seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. And his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness that is in keeping with faith. So as I was in that MRI and looking at Cade and saying, here's a situation, one, I don't know the results. Not two, there's nothing I can do about it. And I was reading this book, and it was on prayer for your children. And I started thinking about, what am I called to build and what are we building? In Matthew 7:24, it talks about building your house on a rock. And every time we make something, build something, construct something, you're building. It's what are you building on? And you've heard this. I'm going to read it quickly so it's just in your spirit. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like wise men who built their house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came. And the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built the house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew against the house and it fell, and great was its fall. So we mothers are builders. And you could say it's not just mothers, but all of us, we're called to build. And every person in this room is either a generation carrier or a generation breaker. So you're either breaking something or you're extending something. So I ask you today, what are you? If you have a hard situation, when I talked about moms and it was sad, maybe you're a breaker. Or maybe you're sad because you loved her so much. Noah was a breaker. When we read in Genesis and we read that there was so much evil, there's only one person he was going to save is Noah and his family. Noah had no support in the community. Nobody was saying, Noah, that's such a great idea. Can we come to a meeting and talk about it, encourage you? No. They did the opposite. They teased him. They said, you're crazy. You're talking about things we've never seen before. Rain. What is this rain you speak of? Flood. We've never seen this. What are you doing? And it'd be easy to lose perspective, especially without any support. I was thinking, I always like to picture these stories in the Bible like real. Like how was his conversation with his wife at night? Like, honey, are you sure you really heard it? Or do you think, was it a dream? You heard it? Okay. I just want to make sure. You know, constantly. And then with his sons and their wives and all this stuff, there was just pressure to probably cave. Again, they'd never heard of it. They didn't even know what they're building for. They were just told to build an ark. And not just any old way you want. Very, very, very specific. It is so easy to become so comfortable with the culture that we don't stand up for what's right. Everyone's doing this now. Everyone has a phone at 10. Okay, so what, right? That's just in my house lately. So the culture is going to tell us what we should do and what's valuable and what's good. And it's busy. Our culture is so busy to stop and listen and hear God's voice and let him talk to you. That's not something that happens naturally. To sit and be still in our culture is almost like lazy. What are you doing? And yet he says, come to me and I'll give you rest. It's opposite of our culture. Talks about building community, and here we are as Living Stones this morning in this building. Well, the culture would say, you know what? Take a me day. Relax. Our culture would. Our culture would tell us that investing in people is not really worth it, because is that really gonna get you that bigger house? Like, who cares? Just disregard that person and move on. That's what our culture would say, especially those of you in business. It's all about watching your back and doing, you know, getting ahead. But God's ways are not our ways. And Noah, he had to hear God's voice to be so bold, to be the only one that God saw as faithful, and to build something he had never seen. So when I was thinking about this and reading, and just like, I felt like the Lord was washing my soul. I'd never heard or thought of the ark this way. But the ark is a picture to me of really what we're creating for our kids. In a culture that is hard, that has storms, that are facing things we've never seen before, God encourages us and invites us to build an ark. Now, this ark was not built for Lake Mission Viejo, where, I don't know, it gets a little windy, a little choppy. No. This ark was built for something they had never seen before. Waves and storms and violent winds and lots of animals. He built this ark that represents safety and love and support, and it was a hub for them. Later they leave the ark and they go out, but they had the ark. It was a picture. And it's a safe place. And I just thought, to me, that just was like a picture. I never thought about that in light of a family. They were building an ark. And it's easy to build an ark. And I think as Christians, or I'll speak for myself, we always want to pray for safety. Lord, keep me safe. Lord, help me here. Lord, give me green lights. Give me a good parking spot. And you don't realize it, but it's like me, me, me. Do we ever pray, Lord, when those storms hit me and knock me flat on my back, I pray, Lord, that we have given them, the kids, what they need, and they're equipped and they're solid and they know they can come into this ark? I don't always pray like that. In fact, I really don't pray like that before I really started digging in. But what we really want is for our kids to have a place of refuge. Now, you know, there is all this time, like if you have older children, you could feel like, gosh, well, it's too late, or I already didn't do that, or I'm not that great. Okay, I already showed you my chart, and that's just what I showed you, okay? So there's others. I just thought that was a cute example. But there are things that we've all failed at terribly, okay? Because we're not perfect mothers. And I often wonder why the Lord even allows us to do these things, because the responsibility is so great, but he knows we're not perfect. And he invites us to walk with him I literally felt like I was on a walk yesterday. It sounds so funny, but I felt like he was like, hey girl, why are you walking so fast? I'm right here. And it's like, we get ahead of him. We get behind him. Do we just walk with him? Now, if you've already raised your children or don't even have children yet, it's not too late because there's always people you can invest in. You can always invest in prayers for future generations. This is really interesting to me, but one time I had my husband on my heart, and it was like weird because I was 16 and I didn't have a boyfriend or anything, but he was really on my heart, and I really prayed for him. Like real intensely, like wherever he is, like that you'd be with him. Later found out that was like a time that Mike was going through something really hard. So prayer is outside of time and it's outside of your situation, but it actually can affect your children's children's children today. My second point is being a mother or a person who's willing to release their child, or release, you could say, your situation, release your job. My dad already talked a little bit about when Moses was put down the Nile. But that mom, her name was Jochebed. And this is at the time when the king was killing all baby boys. There wasn't any like asterisks. It was, they're all going to die. So Jochebed had a decision to make. Was she going to hide him? What was she going to do? You know what she was going to do? She was going to release him. The release of her son is what saved him. Sometimes us holding on so tightly is actually something that could kill them. But the Lord is saying, let go and release them. And when I really started reading the Bible like it was for the first time and fresh and reading this passage in preparation, I was picturing like me in that moment like, okay, what can I do? Okay, there's some reeds over there. Okay, I learned how to make a basket. Okay, we're gonna make this basket. And she's probably crying, and the reeds were probably soaked with her tears of what she was going to do. And she made this basket and put this boy, this baby boy, put little Connor in this basket with real crocodiles and real snakes and real dangers. Courtney would never go someplace and say, oh, there's crocodiles. Oh, that's fine. Let's put them in. No way. That's crazy town. But this mom had a crisis of what was she going to do? And I'll tell you, there are crocodiles in our culture right now. They're looking to knock those baskets over. But again, releasing is what saved him. And you heard today that he was the deliverer of Israel. His mom placed him in the water, in the Nile, let him float down. Miriam, his sister, she said, go follow the basket. So Miriam's hiding in the brush. Can you just picture that? Like, okay. Maybe giving mom like a bird collar. Yes, good. The baby goes to where the princess was, where she was bathing, where the whole royal court was. And they see this baby, and they gather the baby, and then here appears Miriam. Hi, I know someone who could feed the baby. And the Lord says to Miriam's heart, I can only imagine. She doesn't know what's gonna happen. She didn't release the baby knowing the outcome. They say, that would be great. Would you feed the baby until it's able to be weaned? She takes the baby is fed, and I'm sure prayed over and talked over. She got the baby back in a time when every baby was being killed. I'm sure the neighbors are like, how'd you keep your baby? But it was the releasing. You think about Abraham and Isaac. When Isaac was on the altar to be sacrificed, you can read that more. It was a releasing of the Lord looking at his favorite thing. Do you love me? Would you release your child? What is the Lord asking us to release today? What are you so scared of that we don't give them that basket? What are we trying to hide when he sees us? When the princess saw the baby, she loved that baby like her own. The Lord provided a way. And I love, it sounds crazy, but almost when there is no way in your life, there is no way this is ever gonna work. There is no way this marriage will work out. There is no way this child will be healed. There is no way I will get a job. There is no way, he makes a way. That if you look all throughout the Bible, there's theme after theme after theme where he opens up a way. The Red Sea, there was no way, and the chariots were coming, and it was opened up. There was a way. And that's huge. For us that have kids and that right now where we're really investing in their character and we're asking them questions and we're trying to, you know, a lot of times as we get to be teenagers, we don't mean to, but we start getting a little bit frustrated with our parents at times. But then secretly inside, you're so thankful that they love you so much that they care. Parents, don't give up on your kids. Know that God is working in them and loves them more than you do. And he can make a way in their heart. Even if they're grown children, I love that nobody can escape prayer. You can't help it if I pray for you. What are you going to do? You don't even know. What are you going to do? And that's what we can do. We can go after things in prayer that are so awesome that we have no control over. Your period might be God erasing that and putting a comma and continuing. You don't know what the Lord's going to do with your heart, with your family. So it's pretty exciting when you think about you can really go for it in prayer for your kids. And that he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. Hey, young people in here today, Madison in the back, it does not say if you're 30 years old, he will reward you. He said he is a rewarder. You can seek your parents as much as your mom can. Right, Michaela? You can. He is a rewarder. My third point is building a legacy. Being confident that you can make a difference in future generations. It's a promise. As I was preparing, I had this by me. And this Bible is pretty tattered and has lots and lots of notes, and some of the pages are even ripped a little bit. All kinds of notes. And it a very well-read Bible, stuff all over it. Well, this was my Nana's Bible that I got to have, my mom's mom. I literally felt like she was having Bible study with me when I was preparing. And her and I can go back in a minute if I close my eyes, and it makes me cry, but she had this little teeny table in her kitchen that every time I would visit her, especially as I got older, I wasn't as interested in going places with her and doing fun things, but being with her. It's that being that was so important to me. We'd have like pots of coffee. We'd sit all day and talk and pray and encourage each other. And she was such a prayer warrior. And she was a breaker in her family. And I loved hearing every story. And she would say, oh, it was such an exciting time. Jesus was moving so much. People were getting healed left and right. And she passed down a legacy of faith and intercession. I was always amazed by her faithfulness. Another thing I always did when I went back there is I went to her ladies' Bible study, which was so fun, and then we'd get bagels after, and it was like, her friends became my friends, and it's just really, it was a blast, and at her service, they were all giving me hugs and saying, you have to come back, and I just, it was so special, but what always caught me was their prayer list. It was... Cade was on there. They would email me for updates. Whatever people wanted to pray for, and they would pray until it had broken. And they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. And that legacy of that community of women just has always impacted me so deeply. And they all had very different stories. It's not like, you know, it's not a cookie-cutter Christianity that the Lord is after. He's after our hearts, the mess and all. In Timothy, I believe this is 2 Timothy 1, 1 through 7, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, is keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanksgiving. I give thanks, God, whom I serve, as my ancestors did. With a clear conscience, at night and day, I constantly remember that you are in my prayers. Recalling your tears, oh, how I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. And I am reminded of your sincere faith, which was first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded now lives in you also. And I thought, well, Timothy must have really known his mom and his grandmother to have that imparted. You can't just be on the peripheral. He saw them do battle in prayer and in faith. He had to see some big things change to increase his faith. He had to get up close and personal to what was happening. And I'm so thankful that we have a God that wants to get up close and personal with us. It's so easy. I feel like last week I just was going along, and you know, when if you really want to do some good heart cleaning, speak at church. Okay, so you really dig down deep. Am I hearing you right? What'd you say? Okay, so you're really, I mean, I had no more time this week than I had last week, but this week I made sure I had some time. Okay, because the worst thing you want to do is get up here without some time. And I just felt like the Lord, it was so fun. We had two awesome dates. We were at Starbucks and it was late. It was like way past my bedtime, but it was so fun. And I had my coffee and I just felt cool, you know, like had my headphones on and had all my stuff out. And I see other people, I'm like, hey, what's up? Like, they're probably writing a book and I'm like, yeah, I don't know. It was just so fun. So everything sprawled out and I felt like the Lord say, oh, there you are. There was times in my college years that I would carve out these amazing dates with the Lord. There's been times like that since. But life moves fast. And I thought, why don't I do the thing that he promises, I'll restore you. But instead, I keep running faster, moving faster. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He doesn't say it has to be perfect. He just says, come and have coffee with me, or tea, or water. Just be with me. He wants to be with you. Lucy lately has been going through some things, and she's at that cute age where she wants you at everything and not totally embarrassed by you, but kind of like, oh, Mom, you're being funny. But we were walking down the hall at school, and I said, there wasn't anyone in the hall that I really saw. But I said, here she comes, the princess of the King of Kings. Here she comes. The Lord created her on purpose. Here she comes. He knows all the hairs on your head. And she was like, Mom. And I said, well, that's who you are. They need to know there's a princess in here. And she started laughing. But I thought, do you know that? Do you know that you are a princess of the King of Kings and a prince of the King of Kings, that he made you on purpose? But we hide who we are and we don't want to be who we are because we've rejected it for whatever reason. But he's saying, here she comes, here she comes. I made her on purpose. In a culture that says you were not made on purpose, you were made on purpose. Amen. It's opposite, but it's a lie. They want to tell you your life doesn't matter and that you can take shortcuts. You know why? It's a lie that's in the culture, just like with Noah. This is not a new game, it's a new material, but it's not a new game of the enemy, and you just call it what it is. That is a lie. Kate and I, we've started talking to Kate just preparing for middle school about how people say you got here. And Kate said, I mean, do you know that some people think we came from monkeys? And I said, I do know that, and your teacher might think that, Kate. But we go to the Word of God, and this is what he says. He made something out of nothing in a culture that says that can't happen. In a culture that said nothing is designed by a creator, it's an accident. I mean, I wasn't planning on talking about this, but just a side note, that takes more faith for me than to know that you were made with intention. So I have a couple pictures. One is of a tree that I'm going to ask Peter to put up. On my walk yesterday, oh, sorry, Sam. I don't see anybody up there. Okay. Oh, now I see a little bit of a top of a head. Okay, so there's a tree. This tree I saw on my walk when I was really, really just getting away. I went on a walk yesterday and just said, Lord, I want to just hear your voice. My spirit feels rushed. I feel just, it's noisy. And I just sat there and I was looking at this tree. And I love how the tree is strong and sturdy, how it provides shade. How the branches are full. You could probably climb that tree if you want. I didn't. You probably could. And I thought about that tree and just, I don't know, it's just beautiful to me. And the next picture is of some seeds. And these are some seeds I found on the ground. And when we were in ACM a couple years ago, one of the men was speaking about one of his children that had walked away from the Lord. And the Lord impressed on his heart, don't pray for your child, pray for the seed that was sown in your child. These seeds can produce that tree you saw. Are we just praying for the here and now, or are we having faith to pray for something beyond what we see? There was like probably 100 seeds scattered around, and I just picked up these. But I thought, Lord, help me to pray for the seed. Help me to put in seed that is good. And I don't know if there's one more picture, Sam, of a flower. I don't know if there is. So I think these flowers are so pretty, and I just was looking at them and how creative they are and all the colors and how I didn't design them. And I literally, these flowers are wildflowers that Lucy just took some seed and threw down in front of her house. Now, these pictures are beautiful, but if you saw the plant, you might be like, oh, that might not go there. But we left it because Lucy scattered the seed. Now, this seed, I didn't do much. We just put it down. And then the sprinklers came on some point and watered the seed, and this beautiful flower has grown. Sometimes your seed will surprise you where it goes and what it will do and what it will grow. But let me tell you, it's so exciting when you see the seed do something. And the Bible talks a lot about childlike faith. Well, Lucy's in kinder, and she brought home some lima beans that we were to put in the window and watch the roots come and all this stuff. It's like a fun kindergarten thing. Well, every day, Mom, the seed's growing! And we could watch it because it wasn't in the dirt. And she was so excited for this seed. Well, the day came, we had to plant that seed. And she wanted to just plant it any old place. I'm like, well, we got to plant it where it's safe because you want to protect your seed. So we put it in this safe place where she could watch it grow. A lot of times in our children's ministry, we refer to our kids as we want to create a garden for them. This was not my original. Jamie Johnson talked about this. In a culture that's so crazy, there needs to be a garden where they can grow up. And this church serves as a beautiful garden of people who love them so much, they might say, hey, Cade, there's a little weed in your life. May I help pluck that out? Or, hey, Cade, here's some water to help you grow. And when we look at this seed, we watch this seed with expectation that it will do something, right? It's not just that it's going to, you don't just go and plant so you can have a hard day's work. No, you expect that it's going to produce. And not all seed will produce the same way. But there's an excitement and there's a growth and there's seasons in the seeds. And you all know the parable of the sower that says, in the same day, Jesus went out to the house and sat beside the sea, and a great cloud gathered about him, that he got into the boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed. Some of the seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. And the seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100 and some 60 and some 30. Who has ears, let him hear. Parents, we sow seeds. Sometimes it's seed of health and growth, and sometimes it's seeds of destruction and harm. Our words matter, our actions matter, our kids watch us way more than what you say. You know, if I say I love you, but I act like a jerk, they're gonna believe the jerk. It's just kids are really smart. I believe that chart is Lucy feeling the climate of me versus what I'm saying. She told me it was my tone. I'm like, glad you noticed. Okay. Kids feel the tone in your home. They feel if you really mean it. They know if you want to be with them. They just do. They're very smart. And remember, they're either a breaker or a carrier. So a lot of us in a room like this are going to have families that weren't what you maybe want to give your kids. Or maybe you don't even know how to do it. Or maybe you feel like it's too late, your kids are grown. In the Lord, he redeems. That's what he does. He redeems things. Doesn't mean there's not consequences, but he redeems. And I want to encourage us to be a people that pray for the seed. Pray for the seed. Ask that it would birth open and it would take root, because that one seed will make more seeds. And ask the Lord that we would be mothers. You are a builder, Mom. You're a builder. You build your home. Dad, you're a builder. You build your home. Kids, you're a builder. You build your schools. You're building your character. You have choices all day long of what to believe. But I know there's crocodiles out there. But know this, the enemy is tricky, but God wins. Right. He wins. Yeah. That's why the enemy's roaring around, because he wants you to think that there's a different ending. But he doesn't have any teeth. The enemy does not have any teeth. And the simplest Christian can put the enemy to flight. Do you know that? You can put the enemy to flight. So I just wanted to close in this darling little picture Lucy had on the board for me this morning. And she drew this and was so excited to show me. But she was so excited to show me, and she just wanted me to feel loved. And I just love that God gave me a little girl with so much passion and a little boy of so much courage that I get to be their parents, and I get to choose how I encourage them and what seeds I'm sowing. And then when you are seeking the Lord, right? When we're seeking the Lord and asking for his wisdom, even if we're not scholars in the Bible or know very much or discredit ourselves, he will meet you. And he is a rewarder. And I pray that our future generations will rise up and call you Mom Blessed. I love you guys, and happy Mother's Day.